from Turned On, Science, Sex, and Robots by Kate Devlin. There may be a number of reasons you've picked up this book. Perhaps it was the word sex. Perhaps it was the word robots. Perhaps it was the two words together, a compelling mainstay of science fiction now becoming science fact. Perhaps you judged the book by its cover. It's a nice cover. Or perhaps you bought it as a present for someone to embarrass them. Hello, recipient. Perhaps, though, you were curious to how this could possibly be a subject of any scientific merit whatsoever. It's a perfectly valid point, and I hope that in the course of the next 10 chapters, you will allow me to lay out before you the wonderful stories, ideas, science, and state-of-the-art technology that show that there is much, much more to a topic that initially seems so trivial. And indeed, that is the kind of book this is. As she goes on to say, this is not a book that's just about sex, or robots for that matter. It's about intimacy and technology, computers and psychology. It's about history and archaeology, love and biology. It's about the future, both near and distant. Science fiction utopias and dystopias, loneliness and companionship, law and ethics, privacy and community. Most of all, it's about being human in a world of machines. Turned On. It's not a book chock full of porn, as the title might lead the unwary viewer to imagine, and as the author just told us in our preface. It is a bit more salacious than you might imagine from that intro, though. We begin with a discussion of tales of ancient fascination with erotic intended sculptures. All men intrigued with female figures, by the way, at least that's what she has found so far, and move quickly into a discussion of all things vibrators. Did Cleopatra invent the first one? Which first, in modern times, found popular resources in the Victorian age, when they were industrially manufactured to help with stimulating regions of the body that would benefit from such actions. And that's basically all the ads say. I'm not necessarily leaving anything out there. The Victorians were very staid, as we know, and may have been doing things behind their closed doors, but they certainly weren't advertising it directly to the consumer. Well, fast forward to today. The author asks, can sex robots become more than simply sexual partners? Can these robots who double as sexual objects become the basis for relationships? Can they replicate the horror or the interest that Second Life relationships heralded not that many years ago? If you look back, it was basically the turn of the last century when Second Life became such a big, scary, exciting factor in American society. And if I may, with a nod to Nirvana, say that in a certain part of this chapter, it certainly smells a lot like Second Life to me when she writes, before you get your hopes up, real-life sex robots don't quite exist. They've long been a staple of sci-fi, but it's only in the past year that they have started to become a reality. The closest anyone has yet to mainstream commercial production are the creators of Real Doll, California-based Abyss Creations, who have a version with an animatronic head and an AI personality. Their robot, which isn't quite a robot as it's completely stationary from the neck down, is called Harmony. And you can use their AI app to tweak her personality to highlight the characteristics you admire most. Over in Europe, there's an engineer who builds a robot that needs to be aroused. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to give her an orgasm. Notice anything about these examples? Yep. The models being made today are overwhelmingly woman-shaped. The current versions of sex robots could not be mistaken for a real human. They are something different, cartoon-like, overemphasized, and exaggeratingly sexualized portrayals of the female figure. Why? If we can make anything we want from the amazing technologies we have at our fingertips, why are we trying and inevitably failing to make something realistic? We could engineer whatever we wanted. Perhaps, though, and here's where I think we get into Second Life in a big way, the sexual companion robot could instead offer us a chance to enhance our lives, to cure loneliness, to bring us pleasure, to eradicate exploitive sex work, or to treat and rehabilitate sexual offenders. maybe this is our future. And instead of fearing the rise of the machines, we would, quite literally, embrace them. Well, let's get stuck in. It's time to explore the fascinating and occasionally murky world of the sex robot. And to begin, we need to go back in time. The answer, of course, to all of this is that it largely depends on the observer's take on what relationships and sex and robots are all about. For the author, maintaining her journalist objectivity, there are plenty of folks she's interviewed who find having a relationship with a robot acceptable, perhaps even a new normal. She also finds that many folks find this disturbing and unwieldy and perhaps not something we ought to be pursuing. Her conclusion from that discussion is that we're probably going to push ahead because that tends to be what humans do as part of their normal experience. Yes, many of these sex robots are built from a male perspective, a straight male perspective to be more precise, and I'm a bit surprised that the author and those she talks with are so surprised. After all, straight male dominance of society as a whole has been the norm for centuries. Not forever, perhaps, but for a long time. So catering to these folks is hardly surprising, nor ought it be unexpected. It is this group of consumers that existing sex robots are imagined and built for in the current market. Though, as our author notes, there are other sexual interests that are beginning to be noted and satisfied in robotic form. An interesting couple of chapters cover those different kinds of robots. For those of us who are skeptical that human behavior has changed radically since prehistory, by the way, the author is equally open to suspecting that a rock-formed phallus shape found in an ancient prehistory cave in southern France was indeed used for more than religious purposes. And happily, she shares her reflections on chatting about ancient Greek and Roman sexual practices with a Bristol University colleague over tea and biscuits. So, yes, Turned On is as much a journalistic review of a subject now coming into its own as it is a discourse about what many of us may consider the stuff of science fiction. As we wend our way through the book, we learn a lot about sex bots, sex robots. She concludes, she wraps up with these words, and I think it's a good way to wrap up this review and at the same time encourage you to pick up the book and see what you may think after reading through it. She writes, "Isolation and loneliness are all too often seen as the fault of technology. But on closer inspection, that same technology can bring us closer together, not just by linking us to loved ones across the globe, but also by forming new communities around the makers and the users, and by giving people a chance at pleasure and happiness. Isolation and loneliness are all too often seen as the fault of technology. But on closer inspection, that same technology can bring us closer together, not just by linking us to loved ones across the globe, but also by forming new communities around the makers and the users, and by giving people a chance at pleasure and happiness where previously they had none. The future of intimacy is not a bleak and isolated vision, but a network of connected people who want, as humans always have wanted, to be together. Through layers of technology, we remain resolutely human." Advances in human-computer interaction, she continues, mean we can communicate with technology via touch, speech, gesture, and even our brainwaves. We can stream data from our bodies to give us instantaneous readings of our skin responses, heart rate, muscle movement, and facial expressions. We have at our disposal a wonderful and exciting range of smart fabrics, conductive paint, soft robotics and sensors, materials that can respond to touch and touch us back. We already create robots that are not intended to be realistically human or gendered, and we have integrated them successfully into our lives. Let's build robots that we can stroke, a robot that can respond to our caresses and caress us in return. Why not one made of soft fabric or something abstract, smooth, sinuous, and beautiful? We can create technology that, to paraphrase William Morris, we know to be useful and believe to be beautiful. The world of the sex robot is intrinsically linked to the world of sex technology, and there are collaborations to be forged, ideas to be crafted, and designs to be shaped. Let's think Outside the Bot. Quite an interesting book in 10 chapters, going into topics that have truly fascinated humankind since, it seems, the dawn of time, and are now coming into their own in new, fascinating ways. Turned On: Science, Sex, and Robots by Kate Devlin. By the way, no photographs, nothing lurid, a few line drawings that are more cartoonish than anything. However, a lot of very interesting text to make you think about what the future may hold. Turned On: Science, Sex, and Robots by Kate Devlin. It's available at many of our local public libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.